Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Here I am. Hello, it's Nikki Glaser. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. This is a very special episode of the podcast, as you already know because you clicked on it. But this is for Swifties only. Not only, but I just feel like you just need to know what you're in for. Like, this is going to be a love fest, a gush fest. It's going to be a dorkathon. We're, like, going to go hard and just lean into being totally obsessed with this thing that brings us so much joy. So I'm joined today on this special Swiftie episode to go over the Tortured Poets Department. And by the way, this is something I'm doing because I've been asked by so many people to do it. And also, I just love talking about her so much. It's like... Anya witnesses it on the road a lot with me because I'll be really depressed and then I'll meet someone that kind of has some knowledge about Taylor Swift and I will light up like a fucking mirror ball, bitches. I just become like shinier and just happier about the world, and she's always kind of like mystified at this, what does Taylor call it? We'll get into it. The drug that you take, the Fortnite drug that just snaps you out of things. And she's that for us. And today us is me and the one person in my life who's, and I said this on my stories I just posted, whose love for Taylor Swift rivals my own. And I invite it. Like, I'm not someone who's like, I'm the best Swiftie, because I'm definitely not. But she is so knowledgeable. She loves her in the same way I do, but also in a different way. You'll see that, like, our favorites from the new album are kind of, some are completely opposed to one another. And I find that so fascinating. I got so much data this weekend from you guys sending me your top 3 and 5 favorite songs. I said 3 just in case you didn't have time to listen to 5 and fall in love with 5, because I know how it is. But you all sent 5. No one sent 3 because everyone already had favorites, and it's so fun. So anyway, who I am talking about is such a hilarious comedian. She is from Canada. I met her from, you can just come on and start talking before I even say your name. Who did we meet through?
Dave Ross, the wonderful Dave Ross.
Oh my God. Yes. The best. Yes. You know, there's certain people in your life, if they just like recommend someone or they say this person's a good person, they vouch for someone, you're just like, I trust them. Like, I'll love this person. So he wrote me about you, and then you opened for me where?
In Toronto. And it was,
yes,
incredible.
Oh my God. That was, oh my God. Okay. Noor Hadidi is who we're with. Noor Hadidi. You got to follow her on Instagram, all the things, especially if you're Swiftie. She is one of us. She's such a diehard. Her and I are the most diehard Swiftie comedians without question.
Yes,
without question.
I agree.
Her name is Noor Hadidi. Noor Hadidi. So Noor, you actually just defended Taylor Swift in like a, debate, right?
Yes.
It's like a special debate thing. That show's a big deal in Canada, because I've done it before. It was a lot of pressure in the audience. It's kind of like a wait, don't tell me for Canada, for those Americans listening.
Okay. Yes. I can't believe you did it. Now I'm jealous I didn't debate you, because I think that would be so much fun.
Oh my God. I would be intimidated to debate you. I would, like, because I love you so much, I like would want you to win.
You're so sweet. You're like,
and not that I would like throw, not that it's like, not that it's like, nor you'd need me to throw it. So, but I would like, I just wouldn't be able, I like going against people that I'm like, you fucking idiot, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like people who you want to take down.
Where
yeah,
you're just like,
I get it.
You, cause you argued, what was the debate about? What was the topic?
If Taylor Swift has the greatest fans in the world. And I said yes. And so okay. I debated. Yeah. And I
that
made
question
some,
I struggle with because I don't know every fan base. It's hard to say the best.
Right. But here's, this is what I said on the debate. I was like, compared it to other fan bases. And I'm like, okay, I live in Canada and hockey is so huge. If a hockey game loses, like people light cars on fire. They're so aggressive.
Yeah.
Right.
They take to the streets. We can't find Matt Healy's car. Otherwise we would. I don't know if he drives.
In his rental car.
The thing is, yeah, you're right. They do. People get really worked up about sports in a way that I find very similar, as I talked about on the podcast, that football and Taylor Swift are very similar. Men's obsession and how we kind of roll our eyes at that is the kind of way they roll our eyes at this emotional thing that is very... They're diametrically opposed. Like one is obviously very emotional, but like mostly physical, even though there's so many emotions in football and actually they're very similar. But the way that I looked at football is probably the way that men looked at Taylor Swift. And I hope that we've both changed our minds because I'm like obsessed with football now. Not obsessed, but like could be obsessed. I see a way in where I really admire players, and I've done a lot of research recently and I've been watching a lot of documentaries about it. And I just am like, oh, you know what? Yeah. Football fans are Swifties. The ones that dress up and everything and like their lives revolve around whether the Browns are doing well, and they're never doing well. That's the funny thing about fan bases that where I go, cause I've wondered, I go, wait, the Browns have never won a Super Bowl or like really even been close. And yet there's diehard Browns fans. I go like, what is,
I know. Like, it's crazy.
I guess that's a dumb question because there's always a chance that you could, because other franchises have figured it out, and that's the fun part of it. But I think that's very sweet to root for such an underdog so dieheartedly that you paint your face.
So because I'm such a huge Taylor Swift fan, like I now like watch Jason Kelsey's retirement speech. Like that's how deep I'm in.
That is, oh my God. He's like a distant, that speech is a distant cousin to, you know, the blank space video. Like they're on the same, you know what I mean? They're just far from each other. They're very far removed, but they are a part of the Swift lore now.
100%.
Like everything about that family. I watched the Kelsey documentary. I loved it. Jason Kelsey, because guess what? Taylor and Travis get along. Travis has a good fucking family. Taylor has a good fucking family. She's nice and she gets along with everyone. So she's like, obviously she's going to introduce us Swifties as fans to other people that we should be fans of because they're so awesome. And that family's awesome.
And that's the thing. It's like in that retirement speech, he was like, it's no wonder that the best years of my career with my wife, Kylie, by my side. And I was like, oh, this is a family that respects women, right? Like, and his mom, he said in that speech that his mom was like the bread maker. Like she she worked.
The bread maker. I like that you said bread maker instead of bread winner.
Oh, I said bread winner. I'm sorry. Nikki, English is my
second
language.
She didn't work, but she was making bread all the time and stayed in the kitchen doing that as she's supposed to. But we changed the name of it to make it feel more, that's so funny that you said she's the bread maker instead of bread winner, but you meant like she earns, but no.
Yes,
I know what you're saying. Like the way they treat their mom, the way they kiss her, you know, on the field after they win and the way and that family going through having two sons in the Super Bowl against each other. I don't know if you've seen the Kelsey documentary, but that's what it follows. It's insane. It's so cool.
Yeah,
it's so touching. It's so sad because they're going to be so sad for one of their sons who they love equally. It's very, it was an amazing documentary. Anyway, but this is all connected, right? So so you debated the fan base. Can I just say about the fan base? I have yet to meet a Swiftie I don't like.
I know.
Whenever I run into one, they're always nice.
They're
talk even like I want to jump in so deep right away. And I found two girls on the same flight from Buffalo to LaGuardia. I found two girls that were down to talk the way you and I talk about Taylor Swift, which I don't talk about Taylor Swift with anyone except I have a couple people, but the way we talk, and these girls were ready to get face to face and talk about it. Cause sometimes I see a Taylor Swift stuff and I'm like, hey, wait a second. So what do you, the Tosher Post Department, it's coming out. And it's like a 7-year old. And she's just like, mom, I'm scared. But I'm just like, I want to be like, who do you think that one's about? And people don't sometimes want to go that deep. And I misread them.
I love it. Like one time I was walking on the streets of New York and I had a t-shirt from her Lover merch and a girl stopped me and we like started talking about her on the street, you know?
That's why I wear her merch, is I want to connect with other Swifties. And I'm proud to be a Taylor Swift fan and I think she's beautiful and I like having her face on my shirts, even though I will say there's a lot of complaints in the merch, in the subreddit of Taylor Swift that the merch, they're like, we don't want her face. And I'm like, that's all I want.
That's all
I love
want?
Her name. I love the way it looks, but like, I love wearing her face, but I love... That's why I wear stuff, is so people will say something, because every time I see some merch, I always go, Taylor Swift. I always go, Swiftie.
I like wearing my like merch that nobody, unless you're a diehard Swiftie, you don't know. Like I have this sweatshirt with her cat on it. Remember
that's
that
so
one?
Good.
Yeah, the Benji.
The problem is I wear stuff that says Taylor Swift and people don't come up to me. No one, I swear to God, I know how many Swifties are out there, but I do not get, hey, Swiftie a lot in public. That's why this weekend it was so rare to have two on a plane. Like usually I'm the one to start the conversation. So I would love to wear like, that's why I like the Tortured Poets Department earrings. I got the studs because those are a subtle nod.
They are.
Yeah, they're so cute.
I love that.
You know, like, for instance, I thought Taylor Swift might be at a comedy show that I was going to do recently. And the first person I texted was Noor. And I was like, girl, Taylor might be there. What do I do? Like, how do I plan this set? Like, what do I say that so that she perks up and like gets that we should be friends? Should I not even worry about that? And my biggest thing was like not worrying about the material because I could pretty much do all of it. And I know she would dig it. But I think that I wanted to have something that she would know I'm a Swiftie, but it would not be acknowledging her at all. Like it wouldn't be calling her out at all. I don't want to draw any attention to her. And we had a lot of ideas, you and I. I thought you liked my idea of doing the Lovers or like the 10 albums on my fingernails.
Yes, or, I love
13,
that.
A 13 on my hand. The 13 might have been distracting, a little over the top. Like I wanted it to be so subtle. I wanted to maybe drop a lyric, like a very... a lyric that is maybe like a second verse lyric that not a lot of people would catch. And then she would just go like, even if she was like totally zoning out, she'd be like, what? You know, the way we all zip up as soon as.
I went the opposite way. I was like, Nikki, I'm ordering you the No It's Becky shirt from Tumblr. You're going to write lyrics on your arm.
If I had the No It's Becky shirt, I would wear it because that's good enough that it like, I would bet maybe one other girl in the room would know what that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's pretty like deep Swiftie. There's some stuff. There's so many Swiftie jokes and moments. And I learn a lot from my fellow Swifties that have come before me that educate me about stuff that happened in the past when Taylor used to get really wildin' on Tumblr.
Yeah,
I love that. I love that. She's
love
so
that
funny.
She's incredible. Are you kidding me? And if you go back to some of her Tumblr posts, like the hashtags she uses are hilarious.
She's so smart, as we know, because this album, let's just get, dive right in. Right in. I'm acting like, oh yeah, we're getting right to it. I could go on and on. I think that, you know, we need to do this again and again of just like, it would be fun to just go through every album and just like talk about stuff, because I need to talk about Eras Tour in depth because I've seen it 12 times now.
Incredible.
And have you been yet?
Not yet. We're going to go in the summer. I told you with my family, we're going to go to Vienna. Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to go to, Noor. I like actually saved the date. I'm trying to bring my parents. You're going with your parents?
Yeah. Well, my parents are divorced. I'm going with my dad and then my uncle's family. So his brother and then my cousins as well. Cause my cousin's graduating.
Sitting?
We haven't bought the tickets yet. I should but we're like, we've planned it, but
okay, good.
I was actually going to message
floor.
You.
I have to tell you, Noor, we need to get you on the floor. I know. I'll loan you money. Like you just, like,
no,
you
okay.
could pay
my,
me back in like 100.
So
I don't even care if you pay me back. Like you could just take it because I need you to be on the floor. And so, not that if anyone's listening and hasn't been on the floor or hasn't been on to Eras is somehow like had a lesser experience, but you did. I mean, there's better places. And if you're going to go. If you can. Getting in there is just good enough. And that's so good enough. But if you have a choice, fight for those floor seats.
So here's the thing, because I was actually going to text you about ticket advice. So I'm so glad you said that. It's actually the tickets for floor are so much cheaper than the seated ones in Europe because there's no seats. It's like first come, first serve kind of thing. It's like a, do you know what I mean? It's like a mess.
You know, I'm on my feet the whole fucking time though.
You're right.
Do you know this?
You're
this is a fun stat about me. 12 Eras shows, only went to the bathroom one time and it was because I was having a panic attack, but the rest of the time only one bathroom break. And it was on my first show. Cause I smoked a little weed before I went in. And then I was thinking that a plane was going to, like, I was like, what if a plane crashes into this arena? I was just like, going to some dark places. So I was like, I need to like get out of here. So I went to go to the bathroom just to get a walk. And then I came back and I was like, don't ever do that. Don't ever smoke weed again when you're late to a Taylor Swift show that you're already mad about being late at and you don't feel cute enough and you're going alone and you're meeting up with a fan. Like, it was a lot. And I didn't even, it was just like, I don't even know if it was the weed. It was just the circumstance. Right. And I was, but that's the only time I've ever gone anywhere during, and then I leave early. You're usually during karma. I leave.
Really?
Because it's really fun to dance and walk and like strut like she is. And I've been there for 3.5 hours. I get it at this point. And I hate traffic. I hate crowds. I get nervous about it, but it is really fun because you have so much room to like walk and be like, and sing like Karma is my boyfriend. And it like feels like victorious. And you're, and I'm always in like a flowy dress. I usually dress in like Folklore or Evermore. Like I like wearing a flowy, like woodsy dress.
Love.
And so then I get to like twirl and dance and like kind of Florence and the Machine my way out of there. So that's really fun. But, my body just will not produce a need to pee the whole show. It just knows like we're not doing this.
It knows.
I don't even, it's not like I'm holding it. I'm just like totally. Yeah. But, that would be interesting. I think then you definitely do floor and I think it'll be great.
Yes. I mean, yeah.
That and I think Vienna people in Vienna are respectful and they'll mind each other's space. That's why they do it there.
Right. I hope so. I know you said that you wanted to go to Japan next time, which I would love to do because the fans there are.
Sings.
Yes. It's like the videos are magical.
Except
the
me, because I'm an American. That'd be so funny to be like, finally, it's just me singing the whole time. Like, that's my dream is like performing in an amphitheater with Taylor Swift, just us singing at each other.
You're like, Taylor, harmonize with me, girl. Let's do this.
Oh my God. I get so nervous. Like, I've been front row and second row and third row and seventh row and 11th row. And when I'm up close, like when she comes near and you can see the hair on her arms, like that's how close I am to her.
Stop.
Which made me go, oh my God, I want hair on my arms so bad. Like on her upper arm, she has like these glistening blonde hairs that are so beautiful. And I was like, God, she's just like, perfect. You know, you just see how perfect she is and beautiful and cute. And like, you also are like, not intimidated. You're intimidated because she's her. Yeah. But you're also like, she's my friend. Hi.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when she, I always get nervous singing. I don't want her to like get distracted if I say not that she would ever get distracted because she's a fucking pro, but like I get nervous I'm going to get the lyric wrong and she'll look at me and not that she'll be disappointed in me, but she'll be singing with me. Cause sometimes when you're singing with people and they do the wrong lyric, you like follow their mouth. But I doubt she has that problem because she can do it with a broken heart.
She can do it. That song is incredible. Like,
actually, you know what? It's time to take a break. So let's just do that. And then we'll come back and hopefully pick back up where we started. But we're all over the place. And I promise we're going to get to some songs. We can get back with Noor Hadidi. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek and then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to like stand the test of time in terms of like fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I got to go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, so torture poets. Let's get to it. The torture poets department. Dude, I saw it coming. I think I told Noor, or at least I told Noor that I told someone that she was going to announce at the Grammys a new album. I said it on the red carpet of this event, and I'm trying to find footage of it so I can show you that I predicted it. I go, people are thinking we're getting Reputation announcement tonight, and we're getting a new album. She announced it, and I was like, yes, and I was so excited. And then it turns into a double album at 2 a.m., and of course it did.
I just want to say thank you to all the detective Swifties. Like, I feel like there's different groups of us, and the detective twist Swifties I love so much because they were like, two desks, two cups. It's going to be a double album. Like, things I wouldn't notice. I noticed the twos, but there's some people who just like pause the video, look at the Polaroids, analyze them, who's in it. Like, those are the frontliners.
To have those Swifties those are in
essential
our mix
Swifties. Because absolutely.
I can do my research and watch those clips and learn about stuff and then find my own kind of things, which I have something to reveal on this episode that I found a huge thing that I think that no one else has pointed out. I did point it out on TikTok. I wrote it in the comments of a video that I think you sent me, but I was like, I've got another clue. And so I hope maybe people have picked it up by now, but I'll reveal that later when we get to it.
Okay.
But I do appreciate everyone showing me what to look for. And also, I wouldn't have noticed on my own. Like, someone had to point that out, but then I started seeing it more. But yeah, there's so many layers to this. Before Torture Poets came out, like, let's say, was this what you expected it to be?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What were you expecting?
I was expecting something more along the lines of Midnights, where it was a lot more poppy. We had those dance numbers. We had the like somber songs, you know, but I just wasn't expecting it to be this lyrical.
Oh, it is dense. Mm-hmm. This is James Joyce era for Taylor of just like, I don't even know what his writing is like because people have scared me of it so much because it's so dense. I remember someone in college being like, it's the worst class, not the worst. It's just, I'm saying that obviously he's a genius and it was too intimidating for me. And that's what some of this is. Like, I mean, I'll get I'll get to the lyrics challenging to me.
That word rivulets, I had to look it up when listening.
Rivulet, that was the one where I go, okay, I've got pretty much all of these other words. Rivulet, I go, she got me. Yeah. She got me. and then it's revealed how not stupid. I say stupid with love. Because I'm stupid because I don't know rivulet. So stupid in that way. Things you don't know.
No,
I'm very shocked to find out how many people don't know like soliloquy. Where I'm just like, yeah, to like,
soliloquy.
That's okay. We're all at different places in our lives. And I didn't know what rivulet was. And I'm sure there's be someone that would be like, oh, you don't know what a rivulet. And I still don't because I didn't look it up. I just marked it too. So you'll have to reveal that when we get to it. I think the imaging that first came out for Torture Poets, I was like, I thought it was going to be, I didn't know what to, I guess I had zero expectations because I always get clowned, you know, like you know what my expectations were, was that it's going to be my favorite album because of it course. Always is.
Yes.
And that, you know what else I expected? I would struggle with it at first, not struggle, but just be like, it's a lot of like work memorizing this and I'm not attached to these songs yet. I can feel it coming.
Yeah.
And then it's like the beginning of a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, where you're like, I want to get out there and date. I'm so excited to like meet someone and like find that person, but I have to like meet them and have an awkward phase of like getting to know it. And then, oh my God, you start to fall in love. And then right now I think is the sweet spots for most diehard Swifties, 3 days, 4 days out of the album. You are now listening to certain songs on repeat. You are memorizing lyrics. They're coming naturally. You don't have to work for it. This is the limerence stage, which I've talked about a lot on the podcast. This is that buzzy I'm in love drug feeling of the Torture Poets of a new album release. So 31 songs though, I was like, are you fucking kidding? I cannot believe I'm so grateful. I was intimidated by it, but I read something on Reddit of someone complaining about that it's too many songs. And I assume she was a girl. That's like, I guess sexist to me. But they said, so just don't listen to the ones you don't like. Like, right. It's not but like you, it's impossible. Not a movie where you have to watch through a scene and fast forward. Just like pick the ones you like. And like, don't you think there's maybe something here for everyone? And who cares? Like, do you like her to keep songs vaulted? For, do you want to keep vaulted forever? I want to hear everything. I want to hear her voice memos. I want to hear her grocery list. I want to hear anything she writes. So put it all out.
Absolutely. Even when she posted that Fortnite's video, I watched it like 100 times. Like, I just want to know everything she does. I love her so much. Yes, the reel. The reel.
Fortnite. Oh my God. And then him kissing her. I saw my cell phone case, which I bought because there was I found out about her cell phone case ages ago. And this is before Eras Tour that she had this cell phone case. She still has it. And so do I. It was maybe before, I think it was before Eras started. I got this case. And, and I saw it in the thing. I'm like, oh my God, she still has it too. Because when I was at Eras, I was filming her obviously with my phone. And I was like, oh my God, I wonder if, cause you know, when you see your own phone case, you're like, oh, like I was like, oh my God, maybe she sees it because when I was in the front row. But then she also was wearing a KU shirt and that, and I went to KU. She was in the place where she's doing the
needle. You went to KU?
Yeah. So she's wearing a KU shirt. So that was major for KU fans. And yes. So, and then Travis kissing her and then her just having so much fun and living so much life. And usually I'm very threatened by women who are like, have so many hobbies and are crafty and can bake and just look like that they have a full life. And I'm like, why can't I be like that? I don't feel that way with her. I'm just like, yes. You're superhuman.
Cause she's my friend. Cause she's my best friend. And I want everything good and right for her.
I even want that for my best friends. I can be jealous. And not that I'm kidding. I want that for my best friends. I can get jealous of my best friends though. But Taylor, I'm just like, because I compare myself, but I don't really compare myself to her.
Right.
I think people think I do. And sometimes maybe I can because I'm just like, you know, it just frustrates me that I won't ever be as good as her, you know, like in the ways that I wish I was good. You know, I'm good in different ways. But overall, I'm so grateful that I like don't feel, if I was a musician, I think I would maybe have a hard time listening to her because she's so pro, like the way we feel about the way I feel about John Mulaney sometimes, I'm like, I don't really feel like watching him because he's so good. Oh, Chappelle. That it's like, it makes me go, what am I even doing?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I have to stop watching comedy, even sometimes live. I'm just like, I'm here to do my set. I'm doing the best I can. I worked all day on my jokes, you know, and whether it's, then that's the thing with stand-up because we have to follow each other. So it's the comparison is right there and it's immediate. So I just leave. I'm like, I hope everyone's doing well.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
leave right away too. Not for that, but sometimes when I do, if I have a set that is not great, I will leave because I don't want to hear the next person get them in a way.
God.
I can't.
That's exactly what happened last night. Like I got heckled like 5 times and then the host did fine.
Ugh.
Two comics after
person?
Me did great. No, different people in the audience. It was wild. It was the wildest experience.
But are you performing in like oil country in Ontario?
It's at a theater. So I thought a theater would be nice. That's the thing. Yeah. I had never been to like, it was in Windsor, Ontario, and it's close to Detroit. And there's this like grittiness. It's like a blue collar city.
Yes.
And it's my first time.
Maybe they don't see a lot of comedy, so they don't know not to, or they were just really drunk. And I'm not saying that. Right,
I think it was
really drunk, but they
both.
Do.
Yeah. No, it was both. There was a woman who was for sure drunk because I have a joke about how I'm on medication and she's like, you're medicated, sing it. And I was like, what does that mean? Sing it.
God, I hate when they're unintelligible.
Yeah.
You know, I'm where like, you're just like, that didn't make sense. I can't even do anything with that. What does that mean? Like, it's so distracting. And you know what? But you can do it with a broken heart.
I did.
You know, you just like, because your heart will be, that song I love because your heart can be breaking in so many different ways. Anya was like, I played that song for Anya and Matt and my friend Ari this weekend. And I like sang it hard on the way home from doing, you know, I did 3 shows this weekend. It was like first in Waukegan, Illinois. Then I flew to the next night I was in Niagara Falls, New York. And then the next night I was in, flew to Long Island. And it was just like, boom, boom, boom. And I was kind of like, oh, tired. And I was doing it with a broken heart. And then we were listening to that song on the way to home from the 3rd show late at night. I have like a 5 a.m. flight. I'm like, oh my God. And then I'm like, I sang the song. And then Anya afterwards was like, do you relate to that song? And I was like, are you kidding me? And she was like, but you're not like, you're not like going through heartbreak. I'm like, no, but she's just talking about like anyone that has to get through anything when your heart is broken. Like my heart can be broken for the fact that I'm not getting a lot of sleep right now. Or I'm overbooked. I feel lonely. I feel
depressed. That's the thing with performing. Like I used to have a day job and then comedy was my outlet. But when your art form becomes your job, it doesn't matter what's going on behind the scenes. You could be crying. You could be having a bad day. You could be groggy, but it doesn't matter because people paid and you're there to put on a show. And that's what that
song
is about.
But you're also
about.
There to be authentic, I think, for at least for if that's why I would like to be a pop star sometimes, because I could just like become this shiny performer that just hits her mark, you know? But with comedy, for me, at least where I'm at, it's like, I have to be fluid and I want to talk from a place of like authenticity and it's kind of in the moment. And especially when I'm depressed, I can't, I guess that's true. Like I could turn on a switch and just do the jokes the way that I wrote them and figure out how to find that style. But my brain doesn't work. Sometimes I can't do it with a broken heart. And sometimes my broken heart just spills out on the stage. And then I get too honest about like life sucks right now. But I do avoid that more often. It just doesn't work. Because people can sense the sadness and they don't really want to. You kind of like if you want to like put some sadness into your stuff, I think it has to be a little bit performative because real sadness, people are like, oh, no, worried.
Yeah. I hate it when they awe after a joke. I'm like, no, you're not supposed to awe.
Oh, dear God. Well, this is interesting because we're talking about our relationship with the audience and the crowd and what we expect from them and what they sometimes disappoint us in ways they disappoint us. And Taylor, for the first time ever, really addressed her fans in this album and she kind of came at us and I fucking love it. I'm here for it. And it's not because I'm like, I'm not a Hannah or a Sarah. What is it? Sarah's and Hannah's?
Yeah. Sarah's and Hannah's and their Sunday best.
Yeah. I'm not that like, I think a lot of Swifties are telling themselves, no, I'm not that. And there are a lot of parts of me that are not that, but I have mouthed off about her. I've literally been on, you know, file doing it on Miss Americana, the documentary. I am mouthing off. I'm being a Hannah live on whatever BuzzFeed show. So I've been that in the past and I try not to do that. And that's why I wanted to do this podcast and just do it all positive. Like, because that's all I really want to be anyway. I don't want to be critical. We get more album drops than any other fan base for sure. But those nights that it happened are so special. Where were you when you first listened?
So I really hate to say this and I want to apologize.
Shit. I didn't mean to set you up for this, but you are that. I made a TikTok about you.
You did?
Yeah, I think it got posted. I haven't checked it, but it was like me struggling to say no to you when you said you had a link for a leak.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I did say no. I turned it down. And really, it wouldn't have changed anything in her life. But I wanted to experience it the way everyone was doing it. But I was tempted to do it because I wasn't going to be able to listen as soon as it came out because I was going to be on stage. So I was like, oh, I deserve to listen to it early. But I didn't. Where were you when you first started listening? Like, what's your setting?
In my pajamas, in my bed, packing for this tour. I get a message from a comic. He's like, hey, I know you're like by the book, but I have a leak if you're interested. And I said, yes, send it to me, put it in my veins. So he sent it to me and I had to stop packing and I just sat there with my iPad listening. And then because it's not like Spotify where it goes to each song, I have to manually go in and listen.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating because I don't have the lyrics. So I'm trying to figure out what the lyrics say.
Neither did we. Neither did anyone at first. Yeah. I guess some of them started leaking because of the lyrics beforehand, but they were on Spotify and then they took them off. Did you notice that?
No.
I mean, at least for me, I cannot find the lyrics. They were on it for a day. I think it was on Saturday they were on it. I was on a treadmill. I was learning, but Daddy, I love him. Yeah. And then the next day I tried to pull up the lyrics and they were gone. Some of them were wrong. So I would hope that they would be gone to become right because some of them I was like, that's not what she's saying right there. Yeah. But yeah, it's hard to listen without lyrics. So yeah, you like kind of set the tone for yourself. Did you listen to the whole, was all 31 leaked early?
No, only the first, only the album itself. Yeah, the first. So I had no idea there was going to be 31 songs.
Sneaky. Good for her protecting that second half.
Yeah.
So yeah, you woke up to, I mean, I had texted you. I'm sure you got many texts, but saying like, it's a double album. And then you texted me in that morning and we're like, oh my God, I'm getting into it now.
Yes. And I was trying so hard because I wanted you to enjoy the album for yourself. So I was trying not to give you any information, but I was dying for you to listen to it.
Oh, no, you gave me some and it felt really good. I forgot what you told me specifically, but I was like,
You asked me if there were any bops and I said like there's one, but
bops,
mostly
not bombs, bops. Yeah, yeah.
Bops. Yes. No, no. Bops.
I thought you said bombs and I was like, did I ask that?
No.
Yeah. And And that you told me, I forget what you told me, but I'm guessing my boy only breaks his favorite toys.
No, the bop was, I can do it with a broken heart, because that's the more dancey one.
Oh, that is the bop. I mean, yeah, that's the boppiest one for sure. You're right.
Yeah.
I will argue that some of these are bops when they don't sound like it. Like there's, I was just talking to a Swiftie this weekend and we both agreed that Is It Over Now is a bop that doesn't sound like it because it starts so slow. You know, it's like, when the flight has flown. It's just really soft. And then it's like, let's fast forward. And then it just like kicks in. It's like, it's somewhere in between but it becomes like this. I don't know. I need a description for how I feel in my soul with some of these songs, how uplifting and like they like scoop me up. Like I feel like I'm flying sometimes.
And these vault tracks have been incredibly life changing. Like,
dude, we'll do a podcast about the vault.
Okay.
Like 1989 vault tracks. What a fucking gift. That's as much music as people get from their bands. It's generous, you know, it's like, she's given us these vault tracks. She's given us like 15 to 20 new tracks a year.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And they've been such bangers.
Incredible. Some of my favorite vault tracks were from the Red album. I will say, I was like, how did you not?
What are we talking when you say that? Because I'm having a trouble recalling the Red vault tracks, but oh my God. I Bet You Think About Me. Get the fuck out.
Yes, exactly. I Bet
Get
You Think About
out of
Me.
Town. That
nothing
song.
Nothing new. Whew. Yes. Oh,
well, nothing new. I mean, and she, you know, definitely does like a little reprise of Nothing New in this. There's like echoes of Nothing New in this album.
I would love to talk to you about echoes of past songs in this album.
Yes. Because will come up.
Okay.
Oh, the 10-minute version. I mean, obviously, I don't even think of that as a vault track because it's so just what the song is. Like,
I love The First Time. It's such a beautiful song. I know it's very like uppity and like
the very first night.
Yeah. Oh, The Very First Night. Yes.
I don't even think I know that one. I don't think I'm like locked in with that one.
Oh, I love it. I know it's one of my faves from the vault.
I could fly. Okay. Yeah. I know The Very First Night, please. I just started playing and I was like, there's no way I don't know the song. I know it very well. That's a vault track.
Yes.
That just came out. Cause I feel like I've known that song forever.
No, it's a vault track. Her version of Babe is a vault track.
Yeah. I mean that I've loved both versions so much. And also Better Man. That was so exciting to get. I really like Run. I don't think a lot of people are crazy about that, but I mean, Message in a Bottle.
No, I like it.
Message in a Bottle was like, no one had heard Message in a Bottle before. That seems crazy to me.
No, we had never heard it. And I'll tell you, Better Man, I'm so obsessed with that song. There's a YouTube video of her singing it acoustically at the cafe. Have you seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have it memorized. I even have the old man who's playing next to her, his motions memorized, where he goes like, sometimes.
And
he almost like kind of sings with her.
I downloaded it.
It's amazing.
MP3.
It's one of the best.
And yes, it's incredible.
We
and
should
I love
do a whole
audience-
podcast about her, our favorite live performances of hers that we watch on YouTube.
Yes.
You know, like that would be
another
fun.
Another one I love.
That's a great red one.
The red one on the boat.
Oh, in the living room with all the people who are like hearing her lyrics for the first time and they're laughing and stuff.
Where she's on the boat in Paris.
I don't know that
one. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
On Les Tien. Oh, babe.
Oh, okay. Great. I saw her live performance. I saw her do the 1989 rooftop performance. I don't know if you've ever seen that. She does Welcome to New York on the rooftop. I was there. I could see my little ponytail because Chris, my boyfriend, produced it. And we were kind of broken up, but it was like, we were thinking about getting back together. And he was like, hey, I'm doing this project. I think you might be interested. And I'm like, oh my God. I jumped out of bed. I was so depressed. I jumped out of bed and I just like got in a cab and went right there. I didn't even look cute. And she saw me. I'd met her on the Red tour beforehand, but she's right there. I always forget about this interaction with her, but she was about to start where she like walking through the village, thunder is a glow. You know, she's doing like, and she walks and then she gets on stage, but she walks through the crowd. She was about to start walking and they took off her jacket and it was freezing. I mean, this was,
oh my God,
I think winter in here. Like it wasn't like that hot or whatever. And then I looked at her and she was kind of like, I go, it's cold. I like mouthed that to her and she goes, it is. So I carried that with me. I had to remember who said what, but I don't think she was the first to initiate it. I just remember our interaction was, it's cold, it is. And I'm like, yes. Okay, so let's start with the first single off the Tortured Poets Department, the anthology. We're going to hope to get, let's just do the first songs. We're going to do the first 16 songs, the first release.
Okay. The leak.
The first song, Fortnite featuring Post Malone. I love this for a single. It is, when it first came out, I was like, oh, it's a little bit slower than I'd like a single to be, but I trust her with her singles. I am a huge fan of Me. I'm so glad that that was her single. I embraced it. It got me ready for Lover. I loved it so much. I still love that song. I'm just obsessed. I'm only just sad that she took out Spelling Is Fun because I thought that was hilarious. Which we have another Spelling for Is Fun lyric to discuss that people are like, why did she say that? That's so weird. And they don't get that she's in on the joke, idiots. Okay. We'll get to that later, but Fortnite, I love this and it has grown on me substantially. It is probably in my top five.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. At this point, it's such a smooth, slick song and it's starting to make me like drum up feelings in me that I don't even understand. I don't even know what it's about, you know, like, I haven't dug into the lyrics. Have you dug into it at all?
Yes. I mean, whenever she collaborates with someone, I like to go into it more just because I'd like to see, like, I'd like to know what she was thinking, why she asked that specific person to collaborate with her on the song.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And because he's one of only two for this album. So I was like, I want to like know more. And I have to be honest, it's a slow burn for me, Fortnite.
Yeah, okay. There's going to be those for this, especially this album. We all know as Swifties that like some songs don't resonate with us deeply until we're like ready for them to sink in, but that they are all capable of getting us in like a wild way when we least expect it.
Yes.
This one is going to get me. I think I'm just starting my love affair with it, like in terms of like it's the one I go to repeat. I was a functioning alcoholic till nobody noticed my new aesthetic. I mean, her saying that, if she's, you know, she's kind of playing a character in the song. She's talking about like my neighbor and your wife, like Taylor Swift doesn't have neighbors, you know, there's imagery in this that is not her life that I think is like kind of a folklore character thing because right. It's like,
yes.
I haven't really gotten into this. Look, all my mornings are Monday, stuck in an endless February. I took the miracle move on drug. The effects were temporary. I mean, I guess this is, she's talking about her relationship that she jumped into out of her other relationship. I love
it
you.
It kind
it's
of reminds
my life.
Me.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of Evermore where she was like stuck in November or like, I don't know. I just love how when she uses specific months to conjure up imagery because there's things we associate with February, like it's so cold, it's very depressing. And so she's just stuck in that on a Monday. Because of the sky.
Whoa, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm reading these lyrics and I'm starting to understand that I'm totally missing the mark on this. Are people not thinking that this is where it gets dicey, Noor? I don't want to be a Hannah and Sarah and discuss who the songs are about. So I'm not going to use names. I'm just going to talk in as try Code. To be poetic about talking about poetry as I can. But okay, so the lyrics are, you know, this is someone that she's taking a pill. She's taking a drug to get over the symptoms of something else is what I'm taking this as. And this drug is going to be the effects of the drug are temporary. And Fortnite is 2 weeks. So for 2 weeks, it was like we were forever. We were going to last. Run into you sometimes. Ask about the weather. Now you're in my backyard, turned into good neighbors. Now you're like kind of hanging in my scene. You're like friends with my friends. We're neighbors. Your wife waters flowers. I want to kill her. Now, who knows what that is? Because maybe that person moved on and she's already seeing it. And is she talking about she's talking about? And then she says, my husband is cheating. I want to kill him. Are people making much of that line and what she might be saying with that?
I mean, I didn't even notice it until you pointed it out, to be honest. So
if she is the character and let's just say that sometimes she does that and she speaks in metaphors. This could be about her life. And she's just saying good neighbors as like you would say that people, you know, she's just, but that is, that stands out to me. Cause I think that's that's the album we thought we were getting with this, which is like, I kept saying, it's going to be answers to what happened in that relationship, which is none of my goddamn business. I want to repeat over and over. None of this is my business. And it's It's just fun to dissect. It's interesting because it's someone's personal life. I tend to share a lot of my personal life with the public. And as someone who puts themselves open to that, I appreciate when someone else does. And I like to reward it by being nosy and speculating and gossiping.
But if I may say something about that, like, as fans, we're so invested in her music, and so much of Reputation and Lover was about this. So for us, it's like, yes, it's her personal life, but it's manifested itself in her art. And we would just like to know what happened, you know, from beginning to end.
And when you consume art, even if it's a TV show or like a movie, there's a lot that's left off the table that you don't see that ends up in the final art piece. But it's appropriate to discuss what could have happened behind that closed door about that movie. You know, like, they purposely leave out details in movies and things, and you can speculate, like, what, you know, what did Logan Roy, did he underline his name or cross it out? We'll never know. But something happened, and we could know because the narrator of Succession made it up, and he could tell us what that was, but he purposely left it out for us to speculate and to talk about it and to discuss it. So in a similar way, I'm justifying discussing who these are about and what it could be. And honestly, I'm trying to apply it to my own life. Like, it helps me if I'm like, oh, she's talking about this fling she had to get over someone else. Okay, great. I know who that is in her life. I know who that person in her life kind of represents in my life. This is going to help me feel it in a different way. So I'm justifying being a little bit of a Sarah and Hannah right now. But
I literally had a dream about my Maddie Healy the night before the album came out. And it's only now making sense to me that, like, oh, this album is about, not about Joe, it's about Maddie. And I just feel like, just because something is fleeting or was for 6 weeks doesn't mean it doesn't have a profound impact. Like, yes, I dated a guy for 6 weeks 3 years ago, but sometimes I still dream of him because it's like, you don't know how people will affect you.
Yeah, so, I can't believe anyone would ever begrudge her writing an entire 31 album song if she wanted to about someone she had a weekend with. Because this is Miss Taylor Swift. Do not forget that she is able to distill her emotions and not distill is the word. Her emotions are so complex that there's so many different things going on, and she's able to dissect her emotions in a way that we can't. So the feeling roller coaster you go through of falling in love with someone for a weekend or even having a tryst, like, could elicit 31 songs. So we got All Too Well out of her thing with Jake, which people say is like, that's, she's been like bitching up. She's been crying about this for so long. So what? I personally, I have some of the most intense love affair moments were the shortest in my life, and they burned so bright. And they are, I would say, a thing that I think about more. I think about those relationships when I listen to Taylor Swift more than I do my good relationships that were longer. And that's why I think we didn't get the album we all thought we were going to get in this, because how did it end? She doesn't even know. She hasn't processed that yet. And you know what? The songs about the person that may have come after, right after, as a, you know, as a response to it, are still about the main person, because that is it was a drug she took because of the main person. So we are getting an album about Joe.
It's the aftermath.
Like, this is like, she's talking about the booze she consumed to help heal the confusion and the disappointment of the Joe thing ending. So it is an album about him. And, or, you know, it's an album about so many things. But Fortnite, I think, is kicking off the overall theme that we return to again, which is this person, this thing that she turned to heal a broken heart.
Yes.
And we are also setting up, she is brokenhearted.
And I like that it's like, I only touched you for a fortnight. She's just telling us, like, I only touched you for this amount of time. Fortnight is an English word. So it's very like, explaining
that.
What happened.
She also foreshadows her viciousness in this album. We're leaning into the part of her that's like, I want to kill her. I want to kill him.
That.
Taylor Swift, she's killed herself before. Oh, she's dead. I mean, and vigilante shit, you start to get like, she foreshadowed this, but she's in that vigilante shit mode. And it's good. It's really fun and it's unexpected. It's like when she first started cussing, like, there's a side of her that's emerged that we're like, oh, bad girl, naughty girl. Okay, let's go to Tortured Poets Department. This was a slow burn for me, but it is burning good. It's burning real good. Today is peak tortured poets department. I think I avoided it because it was the title track. I don't know why I would do that. But I would say the first five songs of any album she releases are usually the ones I repeat the most because I'm like, I just want to go back. And so they get the most listens. And that was the one of the first five that I wasn't listening to on like Fortnite and Tortured Poets were the ones that I was the following three I really couldn't stop doing. But today I got back into TTPD and it's so good. Yeah. And it's also about the fling, right?
Yes, I loved it. I was like, at first I was like, why wouldn't you tell someone you're dating that their typewriter is like weird? But then I would put myself in her shoes and I was like, yeah, if you're dating someone, you don't want to say anything that might hurt their feelings or like damage what you have.
The smallest man who ever lived.
Oh my God.
You have to tiptoe around people's feelings like that.
Oh my God. No.
But that's a really interesting note to point out, Nora, that she like, your first instinct was like, why wouldn't you just say that? I think some things I never say. And by the way, she only gives us one of the things. She thinks many things. I think some things, not many, some things I never say. Like who uses typewriters anyway? She's just giving us an example of all the things she's thinking that she doesn't say.
Yeah.
She can't really be herself with this person.
And she just got so personal. She's like, she named her friends Lucy and Jack, right? Lucy is like one of the girls from Boy Genius. And like, it also is just showing how like this guy is a fling. He came out of the blue, but he is so entrenched in her friend group. Like they all know him. And if a guy told your friend that he would kill himself if you left, like that is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if that's unhealthy, but it's like just the most reassuring thing ever in a relationship. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. You relate to this. I don't relate to that. I do know that this, maybe I do. I mean, like, yes, you know what I relate to is feeling some way about someone and then feeling it, finding out they feel the same way back. Like she says, she feels it too. You know, she said it too. And getting that validation that this crazy thing you're thinking isn't crazy. And she gets kind of crazy for him. I mean, she is, we get to it, but she's imagining him writing mine on her upper thigh. I can't even handle it. It's so, she's in the psych ward, but it's a good place to be. Like she qualifies as someone who's like, and I'm saying this as someone who has these kinds of thoughts too, really dark thoughts, really sexually deviant. And that's not that sexually deviant, but like writing mine, like owning someone's leg is kind of a hot, like almost
and the upper
BDSM
thigh,
type
very
thing.
Like, sexual what? Area. The upper thigh is a very like intimate area.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And the way she says upper thigh, like, okay, we'll get to that later. Okay. So, who's going to hold you like me and who's going to know you if not me? And then she laughed in his face when she said, you're not Dylan Thomas. I'm not Patti Smith. This ain't the Chelsea Hotel. Oh. We're modern idiots. Yeah.
I love that.
You smoked the Nate 7 bars of chocolate. We declared Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist. I scratched your head. You fall asleep like a tattooed golden retriever, but you awaken with dread, pounding nails in your head. But I've read this one where you come undone. I chose the cyclone with you. Okay. So she's already read this one.
She knows what she signed up for. Like she's known him for 10
There's
years.
There's history here.
Yes.
There's history here. And then, I love the way she says, no fucking buddy. Woof. That's a good drop of fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one's really good and fun and it's really grown on me and I love it. And it's by my count, we're 2 out of 2 on songs about the person we didn't think we'd get an album written about. And now we're going to go 3 for 3 because here comes My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys, which is my second favorite song on the album right now.
Really?
It is. Oh my God. I'm
wait,
like,
what's your first right now? Is your first
tingles in my face thinking about the song. What?
No, wait, your first. Okay, no, we still didn't get to your favorite one yet.
My
right?
favorite, I think people know, but I'm going to save it for when we get to it.
Okay.
My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys was an instant one for me where I heard it and I was like, I loved the I loved that. I was like, oh, that's going to be fun to sing. I think I declared on the Instagram Live that I watched with a bunch of Swifties that I would be doing this one at karaoke and you know I will. This one is great. I love it so much. The word rivulets. Do we have a definition for that? Did you look it up?
Yes.
You said you
hold
did.
On.
Rivulets descend my plastic smile. I'm guessing it's like
a small stream of water. A very small stream. Yeah.
She's crying. The doll's crying. So she already said we found out on her SiriusXM thing that she wrote this song about when someone like being a Toy Story type toy that gets like beaten up and then it kind of is in denial of why it's being beaten up and it kind of tells itself it's because I'm its favorite. Is that what you got from that?
Yes. I basically got that. Like I'm his favorite. Like you should have seen him. You should have seen him when he first got me. Like I'm number one. Like,
there's no question she is.
Yeah. And because I'm his favorite, because we could have played for keeps this time, I knew too much. We all know a guy in our life where he breaks up because things get real, right? Because he can see the future.
Or because they say to, yes. I've always joked that I just like, you know, I used to joke that when I get rejected, I'd always say the guy was scared, you know, because I used to say that, you know, like he was scared. He like truly loved me and he couldn't handle it. And I'm like, he loved me so much. Like he's scared. He had to run. You know, he ran so far. He's engaged to someone else now. Like, he was so scared of commitment. You just like, you know, it's, but here's the thing. I trust Taylor and I know she's so confident that this person like loved her. And I've been this where I'm like, you fucking idiot, go have fun the rest of your life. Always knowing I'm the one that got away. Always knowing I knew you better than anyone else. You'll always know that you could have had me and you weren't man enough to fucking deal like to have me. And you could have, and you will always regret it. You will always feel like you didn't really just succeed as much as you could in life because you were scared. Like I've told myself that. I staunchly believe that about some people in my life. I'm glad it didn't work out because it would have been a nightmare. It would have ended. But like, I love that they will always feel, at least I will think they always feel that way.
Of course. And there's times where the guy like knows you're incredible, but he doesn't want to date someone incredible. He wants to date someone where he's the star. He's the incredible person, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Someone who feels safe or like is not going to leave him. So
I trust her though. I think this guy was absolutely obsessed with her and I think she was absolutely obsessed with him. And and you know, you can move on in life, but like, I don't think it takes anything away from her current relationship to say that she like had some really unique, hot, loving feelings for this person.
Of course. He saw forever. So he smashed it up. Like that's it.
Let me just say that people are like, someone I had heard was like, I hope Travis has a thick skin, like the way she talks about these guys, like, can he handle it? Travis is fine. Okay. She took care of Travis in this album. We will get to it. But Travis is a confident, secure man. That's why she's with him. Like he's won 3 Super Bowls. He is a star. He is 6'4". He is dating he just won a Super Bowl. He's dating a princess. He's not going to get insecure about this. And that's why he got her, is because he's not insecure, because these things are over. They're in the past. So she can write all day long about these guys. And I bet you Travis isn't going to give a fuck and he's going to bop out to them just like we are. That would be my guess, because he's secure in his relationship, which he should be, because Taylor doesn't fuck around and we know how she feels about him too. And we'll get to that. Okay. Next up, Down Bad. Okay, we're going 4 for 4, if you ask me. Here's 4 out of 4 so far about, I think, the person we didn't think this would be about. This is about, she says, it's about getting abducted by aliens. Did you really beam me up just to do experiments on? Oh my God. Am I thinking about anal when she said that? A little bit. Oh, is that mostly on me? Yep. Yeah, it is. Okay. Tell me I was the chosen one. Showed me that this world is bigger than us. Then sent me back where I came from. I love this song. I love the verse. I love the chorus. I love that we go from space to crying at the gym. And I love that we got a little gym snapshot of her in that reel where she looked so fucking good. Mm-hmm. I screenshotted her doing that like back, like her glute workout. And I was like, look at
this. With the weights on her ankle.
Oh my God. She's perfect. She has a perfect body. I even sent it to Kirsten, my best friend, who's a Pilates instructor. And she was like, she has a perfect body. And I was like, yes, she does. Thank you. That's my girl. Anya was with me when that reel came out. And I was like, oh, look at her body. And I noticed like, I shouldn't even, it could be, Taylor Swift's body is perfect at any size, at any shape. But I really was like, she just looks so good. And Anya's just like, okay, crazy. But she's very sweet and supportive of my Swiftiness, even though she definitely is like, calm down, girl. But I like this song. What about you?
It's, again, this one was a slow burn for me. I like it a lot more now. I think for me, when I can get wrap my head around the melody of a song, and because this album has, every song has like kind of similar rhythms as opposed to other albums where each song is very different. Mm-hmm. It just took me a while, but yes, I love this song. Absolutely.
I thought this song stood out for me as way sounding different than the rest of the album. But that, you know, that I think is really subjective because some people are like, it all sounds the same. My argument to that, and I'm not saying you're saying that, but when people say that, I'm like, yeah, it's all written by the same person. So it, yeah. Like, and if they don't sound the same, if she ever makes an album where everything sounds different, they say it's not cohesive. Yeah. It's like her whole thing about like, if you have an ass, if you want to be thin, you won't have an ass. If you want an ass, you're going to have a tummy. You can't fucking win. So she makes an album that sounds totally different, has a lot of different sonic sounds, which I think is redundant. Then people criticize her for being like, she's all over the place. It's not a cohesive album. And now this all sounds kind of the same. Now you're complaining. Like, yeah, it should sound the same. She's going through something and it doesn't sound the same. Like, I feel like for me, every album, all the songs kind of blend into each other and then they start to have personalities and you're like, oh my God. It's like when puppies are born. They all kind of are like slow and like, and they like, if you're picking out a puppy from a litter, you'd be like, I don't know which one. It's kind of a gamble. Who knows what these are going to turn into for me, you know, in terms of their personality. And then that starts to emerge slowly. So that's how I feel about that.
Right.
Okay.
I also just like the visual of her crying at the gym. It's just so relatable. Yeah.
So relatable. And you know, she's working out alone because she can't go to a public gym. I mean, not alone, but she's with her friends. Yeah. So it's like, because I can't cry at the gym, at most gyms, because I'm going to, well, no, because I'm in hotel gym. So I'm kind of alone a lot too. Okay. I should relate to that more, but I don't often cry at the gym. I cry at Pilates and my instructor has to like, you know, pretend like she's not seeing it, even though my eyes are watering up. But yeah, that's very, very relatable. I want to say the lyric, down bad, waking up in blood. It reminds me of like when you start your period in the middle of the night.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And also it kind of makes me think of anal too. Okay, let's keep going. So, So Long London is next and we have our, first departure from the other person that beamed her up and dropped her back down and she kind of wants to go back. Yeah. That's what that song was about. You get picked up, they do experiments on you and they kind of make you their own and you kind of like it cause you're not in your life and you're abducted and then they put you back and you're just like, where did you go? And you're kind of feeling empty and sad. So Long London. We all were really excited about this one because we were like, okay, well, we're definitely getting some answers to what happened or like some insight on that. Did this pull through for you? Like, what do you get out of the song?
Okay, so this song I absolutely loved and it's so lyrically dense. It was the first time where it was in the album for me was like quick, like, what does she say? I think I texted you this. Renegade is about Joe, which we didn't know at the time about this person. And there, cause she's like, I'd carry you up my street and make me your future history in Renegade. And then here she says, my spine split from carrying us up the hill. So I just felt like that was an extension of Renegade.
Make me a future history. It's time. My God. That's really good. I forgot that. Right? That's really a good connection.
Yeah. And just the imagery of her.
Because I didn't know who I thought Renegade was about. I knew who I thought it was about in my own life. Mm-hmm. Literally every man I've ever dealt with. But it really is one of those songs that can encompass a lot of different levels of rejection in a relationship or like disappointment. But
and after she put out Long Story Short on Evermore, I was like, oh, she's in a secure relationship. It's rock solid. This could not be about him. Mm. But now and it's just, I think that all the answers are here. Like,
yeah,
maybe it's not as juicy. Yeah, but it's the truth. It's like someone was sad and depressed. They drifted apart. She just couldn't keep trying anymore. Like, and that
I think tolerate it might be, this might be giving tolerate it a little bit too.
Yes.
Like we might be getting some insight into even as far back as tolerate it, which, you know, I always wondered who that was written about, but I'm sure there's information on that out there, but I haven't investigated, but yeah, it's giving sweet nothing to me, which I always thought was a breakup song. Cause it's just like all your, like the word nothing is in it. And people forget that they go like, oh, the sweet nothings, but it's like the word nothing is kind of hidden in that song. Like you're giving me nothing. And that's kind of what it feels like. It's like, how did this end? I don't even know. You're kind of giving up. And this is definitely the extension of you're losing me, you know, like
yes.
You're just, Yeah. And you say I abandoned the ship, but I was going down with it. I don't know what to make of that one. Like, let's think of a person abandoning the ship. Yeah, like, she's, you didn't abandon the relationship. No, I was like in it, and like I was either going to die in it or I have to get out. But I was, did she go down? I was going down with it. I just don't get what it means to say I was going down with it. Like, you, but you did abandon it eventually.
But she was like, it's the Titanic. I'm sinking. If I don't get off, I'm going to die. Like, I can't live like this. That's what it is.
The color has got to return to her face.
Which is from
my face was face was gray. Yes. You wouldn't admit that we were sick. I mean, there's a lot of different imagery here that's the same. Okay. Next up.
Sorry, I just want to say I died at the altar waiting. Oh, you swore you loved me, but where was the clues? I died on the altar waiting for the proof. That one killed me. Those, and then you sacrificed us to the gods of your bluest days. Like, that blue. is all blue.
Is all Joe. Painted the walls blue. There's a lot of, you know, wait, you swore that you loved me, but where were the clues? I died on the altar waiting for the proof. I like how she goes, waiting for the proof. That's like, she has such interesting ways of doing melodies. Okay. You swore that you loved me, but where's the clues?
Yeah. The rhythm and cadence of the verses are incredible. And I love also how she's like, how the beginning is like, so long, London. And then in one part, she's like, I waited for so long. Yes.
I freaked out when I heard that. I was just like, you genius, you mastermind. That song, I'm looking at these lyrics, it's great. It's so good. It's gonna go down as one of the best and most, like, and when she busts that thing out at airs, if she does theatrically what she wants to do with that song, we will all come around. Like, I felt that way about My Tears Ricochet. It never landed for me in the way that I needed it to. I just maybe hadn't given it the time. And then Eras, it's one of my favorite songs. Same with Tolerate It. Like, the way she sold it theatrically, I was just like, oh, I get what she's saying. And I think this one will be very beautiful theatrically. Okay. My favorite song on the album, I'm declaring it. Nothing will ever even touch it, because this one is like one of my favorite songs of all time. I don't want to say never touch it, because there's other things that definitely touch it. But Daddy, I Love Him, track 6. And for you, you're saying it's, I don't want to call you out. This for you has been a skip.
Yes. I'm sorry to say it,
an initial skip, which we all have. And even Taylor Swift has skips on albums. So that's not saying anything bad. I want, if Taylor, you're listening by some chance,
we love you.
That does not mean anything, because as we know, any skip that you initially have is just whatever you're feeling in that moment. It's not, you're not ready for that song yet. Like, we can't handle it.
Yes. It's not exactly.
It's not because it's not a good song. It's because we can't hear that frequency yet. And that's at least what I would want to know if I were Taylor listening to this and be like, oh, do I have a skip, bitch? And I'd be like, yeah, but that doesn't mean you're always spitting truth and the most beautiful stuff. So I there's a part of me that's like, if she hears this, I just need her to know that. Okay. But this song, I love it so much. It is just the way it just opens up, and you can feel her running in that unbuttoned dress. And I oftentimes, like, I've dated men in the past where my mom has been like, Nikki, he is going to ask you to marry him and you're going to say yes. I just know it. Like, she thinks I'm kind of like not, she thinks I'm just like so dumb and like just dickmatized, I guess. She doesn't use that word, but I guess she just thinks that, like, he has got you wrapped around his finger. You're going to marry him. You better be careful. She's never talking about like pregnancy, because she knows that I don't want to do that even with someone I want to be with forever. But she's like, if he proposes, you're going to say yes. Like, she's always said that about these guys that I've dated in the past that she was worried about. And I'm like, Mom, I would never marry this guy. What are you saying? Like, don't you think I'm in control of what I'm doing? I'm having a little fun. I don't want to get married yet. You know, like, trust me. And so I felt like when her saying, like, you know, I'm having his baby. No, I'm not. But you should see your faces. I've done that to my mom so much. Not in that exact way, but just like saying something that sounds like really like threatening, like my mom's biggest fear about this person I'm dating, like being locked in forever, and then being like, aha, just kidding. Yeah, right. And that's what she's saying to us. Guys, chill out about the Maddie thing. And I am desperately looking for it, but I fucking called this shit, because I did a podcast that's two Swiftie besties have alerted me to me being the one to say, one said that Taylor Swift she needs to know she has a friend in you, because you said leave her alone about the Maddie stuff, and that Let her have fun. She's having fun. And like, it's none of your business. And she owes you nothing. I said that over and over. She owes us literally nothing. So don't get a fucking attitude about it. You don't even know her. You don't know what's going on. And shut up. Like, let her do what she wants. She can date with whoever she wants. And she's having fun. You're just jealous. I was just like so adamant that all these bitches were just jealous that she's having fun and she's dating someone a little bit like wrong, which we all want to do. And we all want to date a guy who makes us go, but daddy, I love him. Like, that's a bad boy. It's fun. So anyway, yeah. I want to say that I was not a Hannah and a Sarah in this scenario. I am in many other ways, but, and I'm so sorry to all Sarahs and Hannahs. I know some of you I've talked to on DMs and you're like, oh no, she like made my name personified with this thing. And it's like, no, I would just actually, if it said Nikki's, I would actually feel like that was a call out. So I am glad that it's not my name and I'm sorry to Sarah's and Hannah's, but you've had it too good for too long. Congrats to all the girls who are Hannah without an H or Sarah without an H, because that's not the words that she
used. Not you. Yeah,
that's not you. And I love that she said they try to save you cause they hate you. Like, some of her fans hate her and she realizes that. And that is like big, that's a crazy realization to have. And they do. And they want to cage her, which we get back to later. There's an imagery of cage. Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of hair removal tools that just don't cut it? Conair Girl Bomb gives you smooth, flawless results while putting you firmly in control. From achieving that silky, smooth skin to boosting your inner confidence, Conair Girl Bomb is all about helping you elevate your self-care game. Whether it's creating a hype playlist, throwing yourself into a hobby, or scheduling some me time, self-care is important to keeping you feeling confident and empowered. It's time to take your hair removal routine to the next level. You can trust Conair Girl Bomb to get the job done right. Conair Girl Bomb gives you the secret weapons for achieving powerful results with ease. Designed with women in mind, these tools boast the Sassy Girl Bomb Grip for unparalleled handling and precision, along with professional-grade blades to deliver results that you used to only get from men's tools. No more compromising. So to all you incredible women out there, treat yourself to a little Conair Girl Bomb magic. Don't settle for anything less than perfection. Elevate your grooming game with Conair Girl Bomb. Available now at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
All right, we're back. I felt rather vindicated by But Daddy, I Love Him, but I also, it really resonated with me on a personal level. I think just musically, it's gorgeous. It builds so much. When you think it's done, it starts over. And then it gives you this, it gives you the best bridge of the whole album, I think. It's not even, there's like 8 bridges in the song. The song is so long. It's almost like All Too Well 10 minute, where it's just like, it has so many different parts that I can't even recognize what's the chorus and what's the verse. Like it's all over the place, but I love getting lost in our songs like this, but it also, and this was not like good job to cracking the code that the last verse is about Travis, but of course it is. Of course it is. Who would think that it's still the same guy? Okay, so let's break it down. So the first part is talking about the person that she's talked about for 4 now out of, now 5 out of the first 7 songs. Is this number 7?
This is track 6.
Okay, so 5 out of 6 tracks.
Yes.
Besides So Long London have been about this person until the very end of this. And we get her first thing about Travis. So at the very end, she goes, there's a lot of people in this town that I bestow upon my fakest smiles. Scandal does funny things to pride, but brings lovers closer. Okay, so all the fucking scandal around her relationship, guess what it did? It made their bond stronger.
Yes.
So good job doing that, everyone. You wanted to do the opposite by discouraging her from doing it, but it actually brought them closer together because they were being judged so much, which, you know, of course that happens, but we don't think it would. When we came back, the heat died down. We went to my parents and they came around. So they kind of separated a little bit, then they came back together, and then by the time all the speculation and the massive attention around it died down, she went to her parents. Her parents were like, actually, we really like him. And then all the wine moms were still not convinced, but you know what? It doesn't even matter because it's already over. It's already over, but fuck them. It's over. And so she literally says, it's over. So of course the next part is about someone different. So she literally says, now I'm dressing now. Okay, we're now. So I don't understand why people were so amazed that they figured out the crack the code that she's talking about Travis now. Now I'm dancing in my dress in the sun, and even my daddy just loves him. We know her dad loves Travis. I'm his lady, and oh my God, you should see your faces. Look at your faces now. You thought I was going to end up with that guy, and you were so worried. And when it looked like I was maybe going to marry him, you guys were so shocked. You look at your dumb faces then. Now look at your faces. That guy you were worried about, he's so long gone. And now I'm with the most desirable person imaginable. I'm America's sweetheart with America's other sweetheart. And we are on the football field kissing. Look at your fucking faces. Was I a mastermind and in control of my life the whole time? Yes. Did I maybe not know it at times? Yes. But did you have any say? Does your say have any did it affect why I decided to leave or go? No, it didn't. I was going to be okay the whole time. Stop your meddling. And now look at you. You all eat crow, motherfuckers, because you were judging my judgment, you know, which I think could be a Taylor Swift lyric. You were judging my judgment, and my judgment is spot on because look who I'm with now. Look who I'm with now. Yes. No, everyone, even the biggest naysayers and the saboteurs and the town halls are all agreeing that this is just a perfect partnership. Everyone's rooting for Travis and Taylor. And boy, did she turn someone that no one was rooting for into someone that everyone is. And guess what? You can't come to the wedding. You're not invited because you didn't trust me before. You're not a real friend. And no, you can't come to my wedding. Get out of it. You're not going to be invited. Her telling us we can't come to the wedding. Bold, and I like it. I like it. I should be at your wedding because I believed in you all along. But of course, I don't feel entitled to go to your wedding. And there are some things that now you don't get to now just celebrate, be on this parade float with me of life. Like you doubted me before, you judged me when and you only judged me because you wanted to cage me. And you're probably going to end up caging me again. So I'm going to do this relationship will probably be judged in some way as well, which it has been, you know, like,
yes,
she can't trust us.
I feel
but you
like
should see our faces.
Love story walked. So, but daddy, I love him could run.
That's what people are saying. And I didn't make the connection but it's undoubtedly there. Right. Like, but daddy, my dad is, you know,
it's such a more mature version of it. Like, love story feels like the literal teenage version of like, you're not going to let me date him. What? So I'm grounded. And this one's like, I'm having his child. Like,
yes. Oh yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. And,
but it still feels youthful to me in some ways of like but daddy, I love him. Cause it's such a thing you say if you're young, like there's a lot of homages to just teenage angst in this, like young but hormonal teenage girl angst.
I also think it's like reflective of relationships in general, where you, regardless of your age, you need to date the guy. You can't listen to other people who tell you you can't date him. You need to go through it yourself.
It never works. It just makes you want him more.
Yes.
I like how she calls him me and my wild boy and all this wild joy, because you look at her and Travis and he's a wild boy. And look at that. He has such wild joy, such wild joy around him. He seems like such a happy person.
Yes.
And you know, she says about both of them, he was chaos, he was revelry. They both are chaos and revelry, you know? Like, she said that about the first guy, and she said it about Travis too. And I love that echo. He was chaos, he was revelry. And then something very interesting I find musically at the end. So we all know the chorus is like, and I'm running with my dress unbuttoned, screaming, but daddy, I love him. I'm having his baby. No, I'm not, but you should see your faces. And then at the very end, she's like, She says, screaming, but daddy, I love him. I'm having his baby. No, I'm not. When she does that, no, I'm not. And the music fucking cuts out is probably my favorite moment in any Taylor Swift song ever.
Wow.
I'm having his baby. No, I'm not. But no, sorry, that was the wrong one. I'm having his baby. No, I'm not. But you should see your faces. I love how different she makes that chorus a totally different melody at the very end. It's brilliant. And just everyone go back right now and revisit. No, I'm not. And it reminds me of August, when the crescendo in August, that's like, I'd have to pull it up, but there's a moment in August where it's like, boom, and it like hits. And it's just like, let me pull it up because I really want to make the connection of these two songs. August and this song both make me feel like I'm flying and like I'm running in a field flying. And, back when we were still changing for the better. That's not the part, but she goes, you were never mine. Oh, remember when she goes, back when I was living for the hope of all, for the hope of meet me behind them all. And then it cuts out and it goes, remember when I pulled up and said, get in the car, and then canceled. That is the same kind of triumphant thing that's like, no, I'm not. Boom. I love it. It is such a Taylor Swift signature musical moment, and I'm obsessed with this song. I fucking can't even take it. We are not going to get through the whole album because I have to go, but let's just keep going as until we run out, and then we'll do a second parter. Okay, next up is Fresh Out of the Slammer.
Mm-hmm. I love Fresh Out the Slammer.
I really like it too. It's not one of my faves just yet, but I do like it, and I know that it's one that's going to grow on me a lot. What do you love about it?
The rhythm, Fresh Out the Slammer, like know who my call first will be to, like how, like just slow it is. But then when the verse, it picks up, like, I just love it. I just love that you don't know what she's going to say next. The imagery she's painting, like, another summer.
Yeah, I like the verse, another summer. That's rolling thunder. He don't understand
me.
Oh, yes, you're right. Da-na, 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 I really like that verse.
I also love the pre-chorus where she's like giving us information and clues about why this relationship was so important, because she was under the spell of someone else. It's like a prison. She only gets 1 hour of sunlight a day. Like, prisoners can only leave for 1 hour a day. Like, she was handcuffed to that spell.
Oh, like, I thought she just got out of prison. Like, she's not going back. I thought she was like, she's not like taking a break on the prison yard. She's like out of the slammer. She just got released.
Yeah, but it's a metaphor for her. The slammer is her previous relationship. Yeah.
And yes. Like, so this is him, she's talking about getting out of Joe and then running to Maddie. Is this what we're talking about in this one?
Yes. But like, I loved how she was like, when I was in prison, I only got 1 hour of sunshine. Like, I did my best in that relationship. I only got 1 hour of sunshine. Like, the positives would pop up every once in a while. But
just 1 hour of sunshine. I didn't see that lyric. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Okay. Yes. So while she's in the slammer, that's her life. Yes.
Yes. Years of labor, locks and
gray
stealing,
and blue, like, and fights and tunnels, handcuffed. Tunnels is very London. Handcuffed to the spell I was under for just 1 hour of sunshine. And that she's handcuffed to that bed in that in the Fortnite video. Years of labor, locks and ceilings in the shade of how he was feeling. Oh, so he's a depressed guy.
Yes. And I just love how, like, it's real, but the years of labor, locks and I'm sorry, I'm not a good singer like you.
No,
but, like, I just love the, like,
I'm just kidding. I couldn't not do that joke. I don't know why, but you aren't a bad singer at all. I just wanted to make people laugh.
No, I am. Like, you're trained and you have a beautiful voice.
No,
I'm just like,
No. I want to be clear. I never judge anyone's voice. Like, I want everyone to sing anytime. And you also are not off key. Like, you have a good voice. So I'm not going to let you say that by yourself. But even if you weren't, I wouldn't care. Okay.
Right.
But this is starting to grow on me now that I'm looking at the lyrics with you and talking through it. It's going to be fun to revisit.
Yes, I just love it because it's there, like, from So Long London and this pre-chorus, like, we're getting the reasons. And it's not like dramatic, you know, it's just sad. It's just like,
well, what about this? Camera flashes, welcome bashes, get the matches, toss the ashes off the ledge. As I said in my letters, now that I know better, I will never lose my baby again. Okay, so they got back together. Mm-hmm. She's really going to try this time. My friends try, but I wouldn't hear it. Watch me daily disappearing. Okay, it's getting bad again. For just one glimpse of his smile. Okay, he's depressed. All those nights he kept me going.
Yes.
Swirled you into all of my poems. All those nights he kept me going. Something's going on at night with him. We don't know what, but maybe they're talking. Maybe they something else. Swirled you into all my poems is one of my favorite lyrics of this album. Now we're at the starting line. I did my time. Starting line. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the name of the band that they listen to at the Black Dog?
Oh, is it?
Let me just go to
Black
Dog. Let's
check.
Where are you, Black Dog? Because I think there's a band. Oh, my computer's being so slow. Black Dog, here we go. Sorry, someone cut out this. Yeah, starting line. When someone plays the starting line. Yeah, that's the band. My tour manager knows the people in the band. And he's like, oh my God, I know the guy who just like woke up to him being name checked in a Taylor Swift song, which is like, would be incredible.
Oh my God.
My Google just crashed. Okay, you know what? This is a perfect time to wrap this up because I have to go anyway.
Okay.
We are going to pick up where we left off. We will start, we'll finish the conversation about Fresh Out the Slammer, and then we'll get to the rest of the album here with Noor Hadidi. I hope you guys enjoyed this. This was so fun for me. Noor, I hope you had fun.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm
just like processing emotions. So fun is like maybe not at the top of the list, but I'm trying to have fun. But it just means so much to me.
Like this isn't like this really? This is like kind of torturous for you. You're a tortured poet.
I guess I am. I'm a tortured poet, like mother.
Because this is like I just said to my friend, I am like dating this album. Oh my God, this was a line I had the other night to Anya. Like we were leaving one of the venues late at night. And I had this like overwhelming feeling. You know that feeling when you like are first crushing on someone and you like are waiting to get their text and like you can't wait to get away from your life so you can go like text them and just like be wrapped up in that.
Yeah.
I was feeling like that. I was like, why am I feeling like I'm get to text a boy or something like a new boy, you know, like I'm in a relationship. We're not like texting like flirty all night. And then I realized it was this album. It was feeling like I got to go back into this like little fantasy world. It's been really fun for me. I'm sorry it's not been fun for you and it's like been emotional, but like do you like feeling like you're obviously working through maybe a heartbreak of your own? Is it pulling up feelings you didn't want to pull up, or is it like does it feel
it's
good
not
sometimes
even
to feel
like
it?
From my life, I'm just so connected to what she writes. Like I've been listening to her since I was 19 and I'm 34, so the emotional places I go to like I can access through her song.
You're her same
regardless
age.
Of what's happening
in
my life. No, I'm a year older than her. I'm 88.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I'm 35. I keep telling people I'm 34. It's crazy because this is the third time it's happened this week.
It's okay.
I'm like in denial about being 35. Yeah.
No, 35 is great. I'm 35. I'm 5 years older than her. It's like I wish I even though I feel like we were born on the same day, you know, like. But that's you obviously. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say about the Red when I was like saying we've never gotten Message in a Bottle. Like I'm kind of unclear about what was on Red and what wasn't. Like I kind of went through Red and Speak Now and Fearless with the re-releases more than I did with them because they all came out before I was a fan, a massive, you know, a Swiftie. So sometimes I'm unclear about the.
Yeah.
I'm not a perfect Swiftie by any means, but no one is. But yeah, that's that is you've been through a lot with her. And yes, there's a lot of empathy going on. But the good news is she's so fucking happy now.
Yeah, I'm so happy for her. She deserves it, man.
She's so happy.
And I guess I feel a bit guilty for like not understanding what she was really going through with Maddie. Like I just genuinely thought it was like a fling and that she ended things with him. Like I wish I was more empathetic to what she was going through.
Dude,
honestly,
I gotta
like, that's
say,
how
I was
feel.
Like, I felt it. Oh, and someone else also called out and said, Nikki, remember when you said that there was a sadness to some of her, like even though she hits all of her marks and she's perfect on stage, you could just sense something. You weren't wrong. Like you weren't wrong. And
you sensed it. Oh my God.
Yeah. I said it on the podcast. I said a bunch like, and I felt really bad saying that because I don't want to ever accuse her of like me sensing something that isn't professional in what she's doing or like she wasn't amazing or that show somehow wasn't as good because she wasn't, I sensed a sadness. That's not it at all. Like she's always 100% perfect. It was just, I sensed something. And I knew exactly what Maddie was. Exactly. I have had Maddie's. I know I was 100% for it, 100% for maybe two on board. I was so on board that Chris made a shirt that said Team Maddie that he wore to the Chicago show in early July. That's a Team Maddie on the back because I had convinced him that like everyone's so mad at her, but fuck them. Let her do whatever she wants. And so it was hilarious. Now you can't wear that shirt, even though it was a really funny shirt he made. But the front of it was really cool too. But yeah, so I've always been, and you know, again, that thing that we all were like, what is she doing? Was a response to this thing we all were mourning the loss of too. Like her breaking up with Joe is hard on me as well.
Yes, because we've invested, like I said, reputation, lover. So, like
if, we were never going to be okay with Matt. Like people were never going to, because he was just the next thing. And we're like, and, it's not Joe. And it's like, chill out.
But
let her
also
be
like
human.
Maddie's like a public idiot. Like he says things that can be like offensive and actually hurt people's feelings, but he's not aware. Like, and we're just used to her being so aware of her fans and anything she puts out.
Wait, can you share what you shared with me about Maddie?
Oh my God. Wait, when we were in Boston?
No, didn't you say, were you the one that just told me that you're like getting kind of horny for him or you can see it?
Oh my God, yes. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed.
Dude, join the club. I've been in that club for a while. Like a while. And I don't see why everyone isn't. I mean, I
I'll
see
tell
the
you
appeal
why.
Of... Yeah.
I only found out, I've never seen him on stage, never heard his music. I saw this.
Oh, his music's like, so good. I'm so into it.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I only found out about him when it was like all the backlash from the podcast he was doing. So I was like, not invested in this guy. And all I knew about him was he was dating Queen Taylor, who nobody deserves, and also just like talking shit online. So I was like, who is this guy? But yesterday, I told you, I got high and then I started watching his music and his like videos on YouTube and Instagram, and I was like, this guy is hot. Like,
yes,
this guy,
he's
like,
good.
Sings,
I'm obsessed.
And his lyrics, he's
dude,
so
he's
good.
He's Taylor Swift. He's like, has so this, good. He's this, there's a Swift vibe. There's a lot of emotions going on. Great lyrics, great vibes. Every song sounds different. They're amazing. They're amazing. Yeah. He's amazing. I get it. And he's a flawed person. Obviously, he hurt our friend, but I think she would even still say he's great at music, and I definitely think she would still agree that he's hot. Like, or there was a sexual appeal to him, she would not be mad at us for agreeing with her, and we're saying that just supportively. And so anyway, we have to end this. I love everyone that listened and made it this far in this over an hour and a half podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Nora, thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time on the Swiftie special edition of the Nikki Glaser podcast. Swiftie out. This is so cool. Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast. Don't Tell Comedy are comedy shows that happen in these really intimate, unique spaces like art galleries and backyards and rooftops. I did one of their first shows in 2017. It was in a random clothing store in LA. Now they are in 150 cities worldwide. You got to check them out. They are such a perfect night out. Don't Tell Comedy is the spot to go. Date night, alone night, friend night, whatever you want it to be. It's so fun. Get tickets at donttellcomedy.com. Use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at conairgirlbomb.com or a retailer near you.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.